Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, August 13th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Keith Ellison denies allegations of domestic abuse just days before the primary election. The race for Minnesota Attorney General was shaken over the weekend when a domestic abuse allegation surfaced against DFL Congressman Keith Ellison. Ellison is denying the charge, which was made by a former girlfriend and first surfaced in a Facebook post by her son. Our reporter Brianna Biersbach talked this morning about the story with Kathy Werzer.
Well, the woman's name is Karen Monahan, and she was in a long-term relationship with Keith Ellison. That's very clear to us. She has since taken down her Facebook, but before that, she had lots of posts of them together, you know, in the White House and messages and happy, I think, happier times between the two of them. She works for the Sierra Club. She's a longtime DFL organizer, and she said that she felt that she was not only physically abused by him, but also emotionally abused by him. She put out a long statement about this over last night.
She says there's a video of the alleged incident.
Yes, but I have not seen that video, and I don't know if others have. At this time, she is not providing it, and neither is her son, who originally mentioned the existence of the video in the Facebook post. She said it's embarrassing. She doesn't necessarily want that to be seen.
Any other evidence that any of this actually happened other than what the woman and her son are saying?
I did review quite a number of text messages between the two. They do show a lot of pain and definitely, you know, the signs of a really horrible breakup between the two. There are some messages where she says that she wants to speak out. It's not clear what she is exactly referencing to, so I don't have any other direct evidence that it had happened.
What's the congressman saying?
You know, he denied it in a statement yesterday. He said he was in a relationship with Karen. He still cares for her, but that there is no video, and any claim that there is false.
I see the congressman's former wife spoke out in his support.
Yes, Kim Ellison released a statement last night, and she said that this doesn't align with him and his character and who she knows him to be.
Now, this is a crowded race for the DFL nomination for Attorney General. Are his opponents weighing in on this at all?
His opponents were actually the people who started circulating the Facebook post. Deborah Hillstrom tweeted it on late Saturday night and called for him to respond. She said domestic abuse is never okay. Several others, Matt Pelican and Tom Foley, also have called on him to respond, and some say they aren't satisfied with his response.
Boy, all this is coming up just, you know, a few days before voters cast ballots, really kind of hours before the election. What might this mean for this important office for Democrats?
I think people believe if Ellison wins the race, which he might, he has the most name recognition, this could hang over him in a possible general election race. We have to see yet what it means for him in the primary, though. A lot of people are raising questions about it, Democratic voters who say they might change their vote based on these allegations.
Brianna Biersbach talking with Kathy Werzer. A St. Paul wholesale bakery that called itself the smallest big bakery in town shut down earlier this year after an immigration audit, and it wasn't the only business in Minnesota affected by these types of investigations.
7 months after
federal immigration officials have been looking into the records of local businesses that range in size and industry. Reham Fashir has
more. Probably enough flour in the walls, you know, just it's probably enough up there to still smell like something.
Mike Mitchelson helped run the place. For years, ovens, sinks, and baking benches lined the walls. The sound of large spiral mixers handling 300 pounds of dough at a time would echo throughout the building. There was laughter and hard work. But now, all Mitchelson hears is the sound of buzzing fluorescent lights.
It's really sad. It's depressing. It was a real family environment. There was literal families working here, their kids, you know, their brothers and sisters.
St. Agnes Baking Company had been in business for more than 20 years. It sold handmade burger buns to restaurants and bars, Russian rye to the St. Paul Hotel. It was all set to work the Super Bowl. But it shut down about 2 weeks before the big game, after an immigration audit found that half of its employees were unauthorized to work in the United States. Immigration officials say these types of inspections targeting employers are on the rise. At least 34 companies in Minnesota have been audited in 2017 and 2018, according to Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The agency provided these details in response to an NPR News request earlier this year under the Freedom of Information Act. The numbers don't include open cases, as they could take months or years to resolve. Despite the backlogs, immigration lawyers say ICE is doing more of these so-called I-9 audits on small businesses. ICE says the focus isn't on arresting immigrants. It's to get rid of work opportunities that motivate illegal border crossings. But critics say this worksite enforcement doesn't meet those goals. Instead, it throws people deeper in the shadows. Dan McLenno is the former CEO of St. Agnes. He goes by Cleco in the industry. He says none of his former employees were arrested, and most of them have found other jobs.
If you were in the country illegal, you probably won't tell someone who is your employer. You probably won't even tell someone who's your employer who's a friend.
Cleco says he didn't know some of the people he worked with for years were unauthorized. One of them was a supervisor who made around $60,000 a year. He's since learned that some former employees had invalid documents.
I'm watching these people get loans for their homes and their cars. I'm watching their kids go to college. You know, how does that work? I'm not... An expert in law. I bake bread for a living. We filled out the paperwork. We turned in the paperwork. I think that the system, you know, is definitely flawed.
Among those audited in Minnesota, according to the records, are a medical marijuana manufacturer in Cottage Grove, an agricultural business in Worthington, and a manufacturer in Brooklyn Park. The companies have not returned requests for comment. For the St. Agnes Bakery, Mike Mitchelson says it all started with a letter from ICE.
Basically, it was just, you know, routine audit. And again, all this, there were no agents busting down the door, you know, anything like that. It was quite boring.
ICE asked St. Agnes to provide 3 years' worth of I-9 records. It responded. Then the bakery received a letter back saying 23 employees needed to show proper work authorization. When they couldn't, Mitchelson says they had to be terminated.
You know, it would be really hard to continue without these people because... And I wish I could list them all by name because they deserve it. They built the company. They built it. And, you know, I'm a white guy in America. I'm going to do fine.
So the owners decided to close. The company made $3.5 million in sales last year. At the end, its clients doubled their orders. Cleco says their last day was the busiest ever.
You know, I was sitting with one of the guys in the break room, and he just said, the biggest mistake he made was he got too comfortable. He said, as a Mexican, you should have known better. And boy, that just kind of blew me away.
Reham Fashir, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
In news reported by other outlets, the Star Tribune has a story saying a campaign event for State Representative Ilhan Omar was disrupted Saturday night when Laura Loomer, an alt-right provocateur with a history of attacking Muslims on social media, confronted Omar and Michigan congressional candidate Rashida Tlaib. Loomer was part of a group that confronted the two politicians at the event at Holy Land Deli in Minneapolis. In an interview late Saturday with the Star Tribune, Loomer, who used to work for the group Project Veritas, said she's been traveling the country investigating Muslim candidates for office, including in Minnesota. She declined to say how many people were with her. And the Mankato Free Press is reporting that even though the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in June that it violates voters' free speech rights to prohibit political attire at polling places, the court did not rule that Minnesota's prohibition on campaigning at a polling place was unconstitutional. That means some forms of political attire are allowed at the polling place, but state officials say some attire is not allowed at polling places. The attire that mentions a specific candidate's name who's on the ballot this year or an issue that's on the ballot this year. So, election judges will have to sort that out starting tomorrow, primary election day. For now, that's your Polycast, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.